How do you become an educator, author, and motivational speaker? Welcome back to the show. This is B is for Business, where I, your host, John Jacobison, sit down with entrepreneurs, founders, and inventors, those who shape our culture and industries. Thank you for listening. I welcome a very special guest to the show today, Chip Baker. Chip is a fourth-generation educator, as well as author and motivational speaker. Driven by his passion for learning and sharing knowledge with others, Chip's career has all stemmed from his years teaching and coaching. Chip has shared his experiences and others' experiences in a five-part series titled The Impact of Influence. This series is just five of the 17 books Chip has penned. To share the message of these series and more, Chip became a motivational speaker. It's a great episode, ladies and gentlemen. Sit back and enjoy.
You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Well, today I welcome Chip Baker to the podcast. Chip, you are a fourth generation educator. Why is working in education so important to you and important to your family background?
Well, first off, for me personally, education is the foundation, right? You know, being a fourth generation educator, you know, I was taught to live a life of service and to give service. And so, educators are super important. No one does anything without going through an educator first, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And so, I mean, you think about it, like anybody that's done anything in life, like you have to go to school first, right? And so I think that right there in itself tells you the value of educators. And for me, I've just tried to live an intentional life in my career in knowing that what I did and do is important.
What do you think the most important traits are to have as an educator?
Patience. I think patience is huge. I think you have to have the ability to be able to adjust because things change all the time. I think you have to have communication skills. I think you have to have some values about how you operate. So I think that those are like just off the top of my head, those are ones that come up for me. And I think that are super important.
If you could change one thing about how kind of our education system is structured or how it operates today, what would you change?
That's a good question. It's tough for me to say anything negative or bad about education because I believe so much in it.
Mm-hmm.
But just think, you know, probably more opportunities for a real life career based stuff would probably be the thing that would probably be needed. And actually, we're doing those things. We're getting closer to those as new things are being invented. You know, there's a lot of campuses, a lot of school districts that are cutting edge, that are providing those things, you know, where kids, when they graduate, they have certifications, you know, college isn't for everyone, but everybody can be successful. And so, you know, I'm seeing school systems all over provide great opportunities for kids. And so I think those are the things, you know, just staying cutting edge with the technology.
On top of your life as an educator, you became a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
When did you realize you had that gift to share?
Man, I'm still trying to figure that out, John. I don't know, man. I'm a work in progress, man. I think because I'm a faith-based guy, you know, just being around my family, you know, they always say, you know, to be a great educator, it's a calling. Right. And I didn't understand that until I was in it. And so, you know, once I got in it and I saw, you know, the difference between those that look at it as a calling and those that don't, you know, I saw the differences and the difference that it made. And for me, you know, I was put in position to where I had to do that anyway with my career and my coaching, you know, being a coach, like you do that every day. You motivate yourself, first of all. But then you motivate those around you. And so, man, I grew into it. And I say that I'm still growing and learning because I'll never be in a situation to where I say, hey, I haven't figured out, right? I think that there's always room for improvement. Mm-hmm. There's always room for learning and always room for growth.
What's one of the things that you've changed since you first started out as a speaker to what you do now in that path of growth?
Oh, lots. Man, it's crazy. I talk about growth a lot with certain people. It's crazy how you grow in what you do. You know, at the time, I was giving my all, right? I was, practicing, and this is the growth process. So at first when I started speaking, I would write it out what I was gonna say word for word. Then I would type it, word for word. Then I would practice it, in the mirror, in the closet, word for word, right? And then as I grew, then I started to learn, maybe I just put some points in there, right? And just kind of free a little bit, or I'll go word for word and then some points. So each time, and I still do this when I speak, every time I speak, I look for something that I can work on and be better on, right? And so, I got to where was just doing points, bullet points. Then I started learning about telling stories, right? And implementing stories. Then I grew to activities, like what are some different activities and questions I can ask? So, throughout the process, I've always strived to learn and grow in it. And so now, I think I've gotten some pretty good reps at it, and I'm pretty decent, I guess. but I'm still a work in progress, because every time I have an opportunity to speak, I want to transform lives, right? I don't want to just go in and just, because your time is valuable. We don't get time back, right? Once the time is over, like it's over. So any time that I have, speak to people, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm trying to transform lives.
Come at it with 100% each time.
Hey, I ain't playing with you, John.
So you took a lot of your experience as an educator, experience as a coach, experience as a speaker, and it all came into this book, this series, The Impact of Influence,
yes, sir.
5-volume series. What's that series all about?
So it don't matter who you are. All of us have been influenced by something or someone in our lives, right? And it's influenced us in such a manner that has impacted us and caused us to be who we are. And so that's what the Impact of Influence series is about. It's powerful influencers that I've brought together. It's a collaborative book. And they just talk about that person or that situation that influenced them in their life, what they learned from it, the blessings and the lessons, and then how they're using that to make a positive difference in our world today. And that's what the Impact of Influence book series is all about.
Who are some of the people, or what are some of the stories that people brought into that series? Is there like one that comes to mind that's just like, when you read that, when they contributed that and you read that, you were like, wow, that is transformative?
Yeah, every story in the book. I mean, every story. I mean, like there's a guy that was, he was born and his mom was in prison when she had him. He was born in prison.
Wow.
Yeah, right. There's, people that write about, their tragedies in their life, their struggles that they had to grow through. One of the books I wrote about, like my mother passed almost 4 years ago. And, one of the books, the volume 3, my chapter was, to her, about her and some of the traits she exhibited. And so, it's story upon story of people discussing, adverse moments, tough challenges, how they grew through that, and then how they're taking what they learned from that to use that to help others.
When you first started to take your own life and put it in words, actually write it down and know that, mm-hmm. it would be published, other people would have to read it. Was that difficult? And I mean, did you ever see yourself as an author prior to this series?
Before I started the Impact of Influence series, I think I had written like 3 or 4 books. I was a part of 3 or 4 books before the series.
Okay.
But before that, no. it's a bucket list goal, how we make those big, hairy, audacious goals. It was definitely a bucket list goal, to, be an author. Now how I was going to do that, I had no clue, but it was definitely a goal. And I'm just grateful to be an author, of books, like a real book, like where I'm from, where I grew up, man, I didn't know mm-hmm. any authors growing up. And so, just to see my name, man, on the cover of a real book, it still blows me away today. And I have 17 of them.
Yeah, and I think there's books are so special because they're so lasting. They're your words are going to be impacting people a long time from now.
That's it right there. You hit the nail on the head with that one. for sure.
So one thing that struck me about your experience is your opportunities to be an advocate for a special needs community. And I have a sister who's Down syndrome, and I've been so much a part of her experience and all the things in the community that she benefited from.
Mm-hmm.
How did you first start working with the special needs community, and what do you love about working within that?
So I first started as a young guy. Like I said, I'm a fourth generation educator. So my mother was a special education teacher. And so I first started because I was voluntold for a lot of stuff, right? Not volunteered, I was voluntold. Like, boy,
yeah, Olympics. I know what that feels like.
Yeah, Special Olympics. Boy, go get the cooler. Go fill it up with the ice and water. We need water for the kids, right? Boy, go in there and bring me the bread and the lunch meat and the fruit so we can make sandwiches. You know, like all of those things, I was voluntold, right? And so I think that's where it started. But then just seeing the pure joy of what those actions brought to them. Man, and you know this, you know, because of your experience, it's so heartwarming and it's so fulfilling. And so, you know, like in education, but even more so in special education, special needs, it's amazing when you can give that to others. And so, I've been blessed to do that my whole career. For 12 years of my career, I taught adapted PE. So, you know, the severe physical education, man, those kids came to school every day with a smile on their face. They were just happy to be there. You know, they didn't have a care in the world, which would show me, man, I could probably get over myself. And like if they're here and they're happy and they're enjoying it and having a good time, well, I can probably get over myself and have a good time too, right? And so it made life amazing for me because I was able to learn through them every day.
Yeah, I found the joy that Down syndrome children, all special needs children, they have, it's their joy isn't preceded by anything.
Yes.
It's a joy that they just give. It's not, I should be joyful today. And I think, you know, I've always found it's such a good lesson.
I love that.
I mean, all of us who have so much, it takes so much for us to be joyful, and they come every day with such joy, such big smiles.
Yeah.
My sister, I mean, she's probably the most popular girl in Cleveland because she's always smiled at everyone around her. It's an amazing experience to be around that community.
Yeah, it's so good. It makes life great, doesn't it?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So you often compare life to being a game about taking shots. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, somebody's done their research. You've seen some stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I think what you saw from there is, so I do a speaker series at the community college that's closed. And that week I had spoke about, just taking a chance, like taking a shot. Like, you'll never know what you'll be able to achieve if you don't take a shot. Right. And so, you know, I compare that to the game of like basketball. You know, the goal is, you know, in the game of basketball, the game of life, you have to take the shots. Right. You have to take the shots. The goal is to win the game. Right. But in order to win the game, you have to take the shots to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
In order to take the shots to win the game, you got to take the shots. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't not shoot and expect to win. Like, you got to keep taking shots, right? And then even beyond that, in order to get to that place to where you can take the shots to win the game, you've had to have put in some time to prepare and work and hone your skills, right? And that's life. In life, you have to take the time to prepare whatever it is, the game, whatever it is you want to be successful at. You have to prepare yourself. And when that moment of, ooh, because you're going to have opportunity to take the shot, right? So you got to make sure that you're prepared so that when you get opportunity to take the shots, you can make those shots, which will allow you to hit the shots, which will allow you to win the game, right? And I think that's what that's about. You know, you have to take shots to win the game of life.
When you talk about winning the game of life, and I'm sure you've spoken about this to folks, is part of the message what winning is. I think a lot of people don't even know what their end goal is, what a win looks like for them. Is that part of the message, part of helping people find what that is?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you have to have an awareness of and be able to be tapped into what skills, what specific gifts the big man has given you, right? And I think when you learn to do that, that allows you to be in alignment with your assignment, right? And so when you are in alignment with your assignment, the work that you do is not work because you love it, right? And so it really doesn't matter what happens. You know, for example, coaching, teaching and coaching, long days, long hours, lots of stuff going on, lots of stress. You know, things are fast paced. You have to learn lots. You have to make contact parents, schedules. It's a lot going on. You know, add on with a coach, bus driving, you know, all of the different paperwork, you know, all of the different things, teaching the skills. Like, it's so much that's going on, but, like, I was in alignment with my assignment, and I absolutely loved every ounce of that, right? And so we have to be able to tap into what that special gift is that the big man has given us and the why behind what we're doing that. I think that allows us to understand where it is we want to go, what that definition of the game, the success is in your life.
So finding your assignment and aligning to your assignment sounds like that has a lot to do with faith. And I know in my life, it has your faith helps you define that, helps you understand what you're called to do. For sure. Has that had a big influence in your life? Sounds like it has.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, blessed to be raised, you know, faith-based. My mother was a minister of music in our churches growing up. My grandmother was a minister of music as well in the churches that she, you know, lived close by. And so, you know, that is the foundation for me in my life that I build everything on. And so, you know, in life, you know, we have to have a firm foundation so that we can build upon that firm foundation. And so, you know, for me, that's faith, you know, your moral compass, your values, your core principles, you know, the things that drive you, you know, are your firm foundation. You have to have it so that you can build upon that and win in the game of life.
Build upon the rock, not the sand, right?
Yes, sir. Solid rock.
So go back to sort of your life in sports, your life in coaching. Who's been the coolest or most inspiring person you've met in the sports world?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I've met some amazing people. I've been blessed to, you know, as a young guy, you know, growing up, I wanted to be Tony Dorsett of the Cowboys and got a chance to meet him, you know, when I was in college, you know, non-sport figure. I got a chance to hear Rosa Parks speak, you know, in college before she passed. I mean, you know, just like things like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, to the date, man, I've interviewed Mike Evans, Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm actually on his board. I'm on his Mike Evans Family Foundation board member. I'm a board member. So that's pretty neat to have those experiences as well. But man, it's been really cool, the journey. I've had several players, you know, to play, you know, big time college ball. I actually have a couple guys that I was on the staff that coached that's in the league now, doing very well. So man, it's definitely been neat. I've been blessed to meet some of the top coaches in the game, trendsetters, and talk ball with them. So I mean, I just it's hard for me to narrow it down to one because it's been such a good life, man. I've been blessed. But then also those things are inspiring to me because that shows me that that big things are possible.
When you're talking with some of the big time coaches, the best coaches, what do you think sets the really good coaches apart from the rest?
That's good. I think some of the stuff that we've talked about on this interview, you know, they've been able to tap into their why. They've been able to communicate expectations and consequences effectively, you know, and just, I think the big deal is just organic and genuine. I mean, you know, just, you know, this is what it is. Like, you know what you're getting from them, and that's a consistent thing. And so when you have that, we all yearn for consistency. When you have somebody that presents that, you know, people will do whatever it takes because you know what you're going to get from that person.
Yeah, and I think genuineness, everyone recognizes it. For everyone who's like seen coaches on TV or seen speeches, I think you can feel that even on the other side of the screen, which kind of speaks to,
without a doubt,
their character.
You know, from where I'm from, John, we say real recognize real. Man, real. He's real dude. They real recognize real, man.
Oh, for sure. Well, on every episode, I ask, I read guests a quote, and then they give me their thoughts back.
Mm-hmm.
For this episode, I'm going to use your own mantra. Okay. Live, learn, serve, inspire, and go get it. Where'd that come from? What does that mean to you?
Oh, man, John, you're trying to get me excited, man. Let's go. And again, you've done your research, man. Thank you for that. That's awesome, that you've done that. So what that is that's my tagline to a YouTube channel, my podcast. And every time I hear that phrase or every time I say that phrase, I get chills. Right? Even just to hear you say that, like, I was like, man, let's go, right?
Amped up.
Hey, man, I'm ready to put the helmet on. Let's go. And the reason is there's meaning behind it. It means something to me, right? And so when you say live, I think that we all have to live a life where we live, right? And what I mean by that is we can't be afraid to not try new things. Like, you got to live. Like, you only have one life. Let's go, man. Live, right? And then when you strive to live, you learn so many things. You learn so much about the world, but the bigger picture is you learn so much about yourself, right? And then as you've learned, it's important to serve people, right? It's important to take those things that you've learned and use that to serve others. And what happens along that journey while you're doing that, people see that. Like, people know the tough thing that you go through, but they see that you're still striving to help others, right? And then that becomes inspiring to inspire. That becomes inspiring to the people around you. And so live, learn, serve, inspire. And then the last piece, the go get it piece, I believe that no success, let me go back, no significant success is just going to come to you,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to go make it happen. You got to go get it, right? So live, learn, serve, inspire, go get it.
You remind me of Jameis Winston a little bit and his mindset. I don't know if you've kind of listened to stuff he said, but I think it's right in the same vein that you have to put yourself in a position for things to come to you. They don't just come to you. It's a lot of the work, and then it's almost cyclical too. As you live, you learn, you serve, and as you do that, you live, you learn, you serve, inspire to
repeat.
Watch
and repeat.
I think it's great to have, what I sense from you is you have a very set vision for your life, and everything kind of just falls in place. And as I've done this podcast talking entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. all the guests, that's something that kind of runs in common, is having a very set vision for what they want to be doing, and then things sort of fall in line with that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, final question, Chip.
Yes,
what would your advice be for a person who has a vision for a compelling company, a product, a book, what have you? What should their first step be?
Go get it. I mean, that's simple.
I should have seen that coming.
Man, let's go. No, I think the first thing is, do the research. Learn the things that you're supposed to learn so that you can be an expert in that field, right? I just tell you, like, I think it's always room for learning. I'll tell you this, about me. Like, I've been doing my podcast for 8 years, my YouTube channel podcast for 8 years. And to the date, every time that I'm in person, I do an in-person interview, somebody interviews me, I'm always asking, hey, what kind of camera you use? How you set up your lighting? Like, what do you... like, why do you do it like this? Why is just, like, I'm always looking to, what do you use to edit? How do you make clips? Like, I'm always striving to learn new things, because I think that that helps me be the best version of myself, so that I can give the best version of myself to others. I think the first step is just like learn everything that you can learn about it, right? And then after you do that, you know, apply the learning, like put it into action what you've learned. And so when you put that into action, you will learn more things that you more than you seek to learn.
Yeah.
You know, just organically, like just because you're making the effort to learn, like more knowledge is going to come to you because of that. And then before you know it, you know, you'll have 17 books and you'll be speaking and people will be interviewing you. And people will be coming up to you quoting some of the things that you say. You know, you're like, man, like, this is crazy. But really, it all just started in striving to learn, striving to make a positive difference in the world, understanding that it's bigger than me. It's not about me. It's about what I can do to help others. And it's gotten us to this place right here, you know. And So that's what I would say to them. You know, just start. Just go get it. Do the things that we just talked about. And what will happen is you'll surprise yourself with what you will accomplish, and you'll be very proud of it too.
Well, Chip, I think that pretty much sums it all up. I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, sharing your experience, sharing your message.
John, thank you so much for having me, man. I truly appreciate the opportunity. Had a great time. And again, thank you so much for, you know, being a great interview host, doing your research, man. It's so good. So thanks again for having me, and go get it.
Go get it. Thanks, Chip.
Yes, sir.
To learn more about Chip and his work, check out wroteby.me/ChipBaker or follow him on social media on Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe to Chip's channel and podcast, The Success Chronicles, on YouTube. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider sharing the episode with a friend and leaving a rating wherever you're listening. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the weekly newsletter via the link in the description. Follow the show at B is for Business Show on Instagram and X, and B is for Business on Facebook and LinkedIn. And as always, have a great Monday, everyone. Thanks for listening to B is for Business. Intro music is by The Revolution. Outro music is by Reveal. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. B is for Business is a trademark of Bison LLC. Remember to like, subscribe, and share B is for Business across all platforms. Thank you.